In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the, anyone, the Great Depression, passed the, anyone, the tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which, anyone, raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression. Anyone?
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I just locked it, and you have to press in the numbers before you lock it, or else it's the last person's code. And then it just started yelling at me. It was like, beep, 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 red. And I was like, okay, all right. So here I am, you know, my fat, you know.
At least you had your underwear
man
on.
Man boobs. Like, yeah, at least I had my underwear on. So then she comes in and she was like this. She literally put her hands like horse blinders. And she's like, I just want to make sure no one else is in here. And I'm like, no, I'm the only old fat guy you're going to see today. So thank you. All right. I mean, she was like young too.
Yeah.
And I think she was like, oh God, this is not, I don't get paid enough for this.
Exactly.
I don't get paid enough to look at this guy naked.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Ah, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris Joy Holdley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Why not? Start off with a race.
A race.
Do you remember that? You remember that movie with Mr. Bean, like the Great Race or
yes,
whatever it was called?
Yes, that's right.
I don't know. For some reason, I remember finding that, thinking I found that movie extraordinarily funny as Mr. Bean ran around and goes, "It's a race." I just like raced to the chair to put my earphones on and fix all the things that are wrong with the studio, because that's just the way it goes here at The Commercial Break.
Good old updates.
Yes, good old updates. Updates almost took assault. One simple computer update almost took the entire show down. Astrid called me this morning. She goes, did you put out an episode this morning? And I'm like, yeah, of course. I always put out an episode. You know, I'm pretty timely with that stuff. I always put out an episode, but I, in fact, did not put out an episode this morning. So. So some listeners recognized that and texted in. Chill out. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. What are you guys doing up so early? Fuck that. Fuck that. That's too early. I put them out at midnight on the dot just for you. So when you wake up in the morning and your pretty little ears are waiting for Brian to scream and yell at you, you've got it ready to go. That's how it is, Chrissy.
I know it is.
The trains must run on time.
They might have. The trains must run on time. They might have been over across the pond.
They might be across the pond. Mm-hmm. That's right. In a race.
In a race.
We were talking about before, right when we came on air, we were talking about this whole Bill Belichick thing, which I mistakenly thought was the Bill Bellamy thing. Chrissy said, have you heard of the Bill Belichick thing? And I go, "What? Who fucking cares about Bill Belichick? And she goes, Bill Belichick's girlfriend? And I go, Bill... The old MTV VJ?
Right.
Does anyone really care about the old
Bill
MTV VJ?
He was hot for a while.
He was hot for a while. Brian got it wrong, yeah. Brian got it wrong, yeah. Brian got it wrong again.
That's a new one.
Yes, Brian got it wrong again. So, will it ever end? Brian got it wrong. Will it ever end? Probably not.
That's a great one.
Yeah, there's
Where'd
another one
out?
In there, too. Brian got it wrong. Will it ever end?
Did you have this made?
Yes, I did. Yeah, let me tell you what happened. So, ChatGPT, you know, we're all getting a little used to this AI thing, mm-hmm. and we're all trying to figure it out. So, ChatGPT, as we're moving into doing 36 interviews in 1 month because of the 12 hours of TCB, and it just happens to be interview season, I have trained AI to do one thing really well. And it's really the only thing that I use it for. Well, there's two things that I use it for. One is I ask it to do chapters mm-hmm. on our show. So I'll say, hey, can you take this file and do chapters on the show that I can then put into YouTube? Or or into the into our hosting system called Megaphone. The other thing that I ask it to do is I ask it to do deep research on our guests, because that's a really hard thing to do. We used to have like five people doing the research for the guests. And since we make no money here, we can't afford those five people anymore.
Right.
So what I said, what I trained ChatGPT to do was anytime that we have a guest, I ask it to go do deep research on the guest. And then a couple of days ahead of time, I can start digesting that information, going and watching links and specials and the highlights of someone's career, which, you know, we don't tend to be like, if you listen to the commercial break, then you'll know that our interviews are not the "this is your life" type of interview, which a lot of people do. But we don't have the time. We only request an hour from our guests because, quite frankly, that's my attention span limit is 1 hour. But also, we don't want to tax the guest with some lengthy interview, especially when we don't know them.
And a lot of times they've already done it somewhere else.
They've done it a million times somewhere
else.
It's
like, okay, recount. How did you get started?
Yeah, exactly. I want to get something else out of them. I would rather pretend like I just met them at a bar and we were having a conversation. If you met Margaret Cho at a bar, or
which
Kyle Kinane at a bar. You met Margaret Cho at
a bar?
Yeah,
Barcelona, down in Edmund Park.
That's right. You did say that to her when she came on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you met Kyle Kinane or Margaret Cho, Des Bishop, Hannah Burr, whoever, what a name the person that we've had on the show. If you met them at a bar, you wouldn't say, so you started your career in 1983 with a cameo appearance on Silver Spoons. I mean, you just wouldn't do that.
Right. Or so where were you born?
Yeah, where were you born?
What were your parents like?
Tell me about your journey to get to comedy.
Right.
I mean, no offense to anyone who does interviews like that. And some people, quite frankly, think my own interview style is really obnoxious. And I've heard it. So you don't have to text in and say it again. I've heard it. Trust me, the ones that are the comments that are terrible are the loudest, and I hear them. But in any case, we just have even sometimes the agents, especially with the bigger names, they'll write in and they'll say, can we get some questions ahead of time so we're prepared? And we have a stock response. Astor just cuts and pastes it. Brian and Chrissy like to have a conversation with our guest. In other words, we're too dumb to have an actual interview with them and too scared to ask them the tough questions. So we're just going to talk to them about whatever's on our mind. But I find that that often leads to a more interesting conversation, and at least those who like the commercial break have some of them have said so. So we'll keep doing that because that's easy. So, hey, but I like to be informed about the guest. We've had, I think Astrid counted them, we've had 68 guests on the show so far. And I just want to know who they are, especially if they're not in my purview, like my everyday feed or whatever. Okay. All right. So, chat. Here's how I'd like the deep research done. Here's what I like. Please go do this. Okay. So then the other day we're having an AI system transcribe all of the episodes and put the transcript on a server so that we can, like, when I say, okay, I'm going to do a best of about Frankie B, or we're going to do the 12 hours of TCB, I want to pull some clips, I can search through the transcripts real quick and pull up all the references.
Awful.
Yeah. Look at us. Look at us. Look at us.
Yeah.
So
all of this leading to the fact that you got chat.
Yeah, but listen, okay. So chat. So I'm asking this AI system to do it. So I say, hey, please tell me what some of the most, the biggest running themes of the show are. And what I wanted it to tell me is, what are the things we've talked about most, like mountain monsters, whatever. You know what it said?
Brian
gets it wrong. Number one theme. Number one theme. Brian gets it wrong. And so I was like,
great.
So I literally responded to it.
I love it.
I need a song for that. Yeah. And it goes, I can help create a song for that. Here are some suggestions. So I wrote the lyrics. And then I said, okay, make me a song in this style. Make
That's
it 80s
fantastic.
Cheese rock. And there it goes. I wrote a song about Jackie Beans. I wrote a song about Best of You. I've always wanted to have like this kind of fun songs on the show.
Yes.
But it's
like
really expensive to get
right.
musicians to do it. And I've paid some musicians and it's failed miserably. It's just been terrible. I mean, terrible. But God bless them. They're trying to take what's inside my head and put it on sheet music. It's really hard to do that. So if you're a musician out there and you'd like to work with us and you think you get the commercial break, text me 212-433-3822. I'd rather work with a musician. But anyway, I was just having
fun.
In a pinch, I use ChatGPT or some offshoot of ChatGPT. So there you go. Our new house band is ChatGPT. Every musician in our audience just turned off the commercial break.
Yeah.
We just lost every one of them.
Yeah, really, thanks.
Hey, listen, I'm sorry, guys. I'm just having fun. And, you know, when you find a tool that's cool, then you use it. And, you know, I don't want to shy away from using the tools that every other human being is currently using. I
know. I need to get back into it.
I went to a massage yesterday. So Astrid got me a surprise
good
massage.
For you.
So listen to this. Okay. And then we'll get to Bill Bellamy's. Girlfriend.
Well, I think it's old news anyways. So
it is old news, but I think it's worth talking about. It's weird. The whole situation is strange. But who am I to cast dispersions? But anyway, I wake up on Saturday morning. Astrid's all of a sudden there's like a calendar notification.
Yeah.
You're invited to a 90-minute massage on this day.
She's a gem.
I know. And we had gotten these gift cards for Christmas, but I kept refusing to go because I was like, you know, when you have kids, all of a sudden everything gets deprioritized financially. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. New shoes, new clothes. I used to buy a new wardrobe when Astrid and I first met. I'd buy a new wardrobe every 2 months.
Yeah.
But now, I think this is the same t-shirt I've been wearing all six seasons. So she keeps saying, go get the massage. And I say, no, you know, we have gift cards. I know, but then it's like a $70 tip. And, you know, by the time you leave and they ought some fucking cream they want you to have and some special, you know, bunion sauce or whatever. By the time you leave, it's $700.
Bunion sauce.
So I'm walking out the door. So she finally just
was
says,
it to the place that you went the last time? With the weird curtains and
no,
things?
No. This is to a place I really like.
Oh, nice.
A really nice spa in a really nice location. Like a good, solid spa. A type of place you would want to go.
Yep.
Is it the best I've ever been to? No. That would have been in when we went to the wedding and we went to that, like, whatever it was, Greek massage place.
You were like up on the top.
We were up on the top and some guy was throwing ice into there. The ice machine was dumping into the pool.
Yes.
So I'm getting ready for the massage and then I'm about to leave and I say, hey, babe, thanks very much. I really appreciate it. She goes, no problem. And I hope you have a great time and I got you the masseuse you like. And I said, oh, well, who's the masseuse I like? She goes, well, last time you went, you said you had a great massage. And so I asked for the masseuse that you had last time, and she happened to be available, and there you go. And then it dawned on me that the last time that I went to this place 3 or 4 months ago, I actually had a terrible time because the masseuse wanted to play 50 questions while we were having a massage.
That's right.
And she didn't give a massage. She was like just breathing on my back. She
right.
was like,
phew. Or the worst is just the rubbing of the lotion. And
that's it. Like, that's all she was doing.
Yeah, or
and
the oil.
I remember telling this story. She also was wearing gloves. Mm-hmm. So she's wearing gloves. She's doing the oil that she's just spreading around my back. And she's really spending a lot of time just conversating. It seems like this was her hour of break.
Uh-huh.
And I happened to be scheduled during it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, listen, massages are like food or like sex or like dating. Not everybody's going to be for, or the commercial break. It's not for everybody. Not everybody's going to be the same. Not everybody has the same style or taste. It's very personalized. Like every masseuse is different. But I instantly get this picture in my head of this lady who I really just did not like, not her, but the massage, the experience I did not like. And I go, oh. Thanks, babe. You know, she was like, no, really? I said, actually, I think this lady was really kind of obnoxious last time I was there. I did not like her at all. And so now I'm freaking out a little bit. And
no.
Astrid's freaking out.
I know, right? Yeah. Astrid was so excited.
But also, you don't want to blow a couple $100. Now I'm not getting a 50-minute massage. I'm getting a 90-minute massage. Double the time, double the aggravation as far as I'm concerned. So I explained to Astrid. And then I said, but you know what? It's a massage. And it's better than sitting here and listening to the kids scream and listening to Blue bark at me. So I'll take it. Like, I'm not going to complain. No worries. She said, let me call the place. You know, I will call the place. I will find another masseuse. Don't worry. I go, listen, it's an 90-minute massage. There's only like 3 of those available a day.
Yeah.
They're not going to have some other person that's going to be able to fill in. And I'll probably get some dude, you know, that wants to fucking, you know, break my back. No, just don't worry about it. I'm good. I'll just tell her at the beginning, like you do on an Uber ride.
Tissue.
I want, Yeah, I want deep tissue.
Deep tissue, no talk. 70 no talk. Degrees.
No talky, no ticky, no tacky. 70 degrees, deep tissue. Pick me up at the bar.
Yeah.
Raphael. So she's like, and I'm on my way out the door. I'll call. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. So I get in the car and I'm driving there and I'm a little like
anxious.
Anxious mm-hmm. is the right word to say. I'm not upset, but I'm also not totally relaxed because I'm remembering this experience and I'm thinking if I had to do this for 90 minutes and kind of bat this lady back with all her questions, great. So as I'm pulling in.
I wonder if you could put like in your earbuds too, maybe just to kind of be like, hey, look, I just want to listen to my own music.
I'm sure you could.
Wow. Okay.
I'm sure that nobody would have a problem. You could put your Beats on or whatever, but you know, it might get in the way. Mm-hmm. You put your head down in that pillow and they might fall off. So I'm pulling in and I remember that I'm not that good at remembering because two
Brian
times.
Brian got it wrong again.
That's exactly where I was going with it. So, falling in. Brian got it wrong, yeah! I love it. I think that's
when
great.
Is it going to end?
When is it going to end? I wrote the lyrics, by the way. So,
love
there
it.
You go. I just had it repeat. Brian got it wrong, yeah. Brian got it wrong. So, I'm pulling in and I go, but two times ago, I had a really, really good massage. Wait. What was that? Was that the last time or was that two times ago? Was it two times ago that I had a bad massage or was it last time that I had a bad massage? Now I can't remember. Now I'm all screwed up in my head. So now I'm basically playing masseuse roulette.
Uh-huh.
And I know for a fact that the lady I had with the bad massage had an accent mm-hmm. that would, like a foreign accent that would be very recognizable. So I get into the place, you know, I go, I change, I lock myself out of my locker. So I'm in my underwear, and I have to, like, open the door and hope that an employee walks by.
I actually did that when we were down in Tulum.
Oh, yeah?
I got the code when I got back to the locker.
I just locked it, and you have to press in the numbers yes. before you lock it, or else it's the last person's code. And so then okay. and then it just started yelling at me. It was like, beep, yeah. beep, 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 red, red, red. And I was like, okay, all right. So here I am, you know, fat, you know.
at least you had your underwear
man
on.
Boobs. Like, yeah, at least I had my underwear on. So then she comes in and she was like this. She literally put her hands like horse blinders. And she's like, I just want to make sure no one else is in here. And I'm like, no, I'm the only old fat guy you're going to see today. So thank you. All right. I mean, she was like young too.
Yeah.
And I think she was like, oh God, this is not, I don't get paid enough for this.
Exactly.
I don't get paid enough to look at this guy naked. So I get in, I go, I sit. I'm sitting in the waiting room, you know, they have a fire going. No matter how fucking hot it is outside, these people have a fire
That's
going
true.
In the waiting room. But fine, whatever. It's nice and it's
cucumber
relaxing.
Water.
And cucumber water. Some lady's trying to talk to me. She's like, so are you here for a massage? And I go, no, I'm sitting in a robe. I'm sitting in a robe waiting to get my oil changed. What are you doing? Am I here for a massage? No, I just come here every Tuesday to enjoy the fire and get free lemon and sage water. I go, no. Okay. All right. So people are getting called one by one. I'm there just a couple minutes early. Door opens. Brian? And to my relief, there's no foreign accent. And I'm like, okay. All right. Thank God. I think this is the one. And I turn the corner and I recognize it's the lady that I really enjoyed the massage with the last time. That she was a pro. She knew exactly what she was doing. Enough pressure to get the knots out. Mm-hmm. I don't mind a deep, like, I don't mind you getting in there with your elbow.
Yeah.
Because my back is a hot mess. Like a lot of people, you know, like a lot of people. I'm not the only one in the world with knots in their back and holding your stress in your shoulders and your lower back.
No. I love it.
So I tell her
the elbow.
Yeah. So I tell her this funny story. You know, so we're talking, she's asking, you know, she's like, okay, I think I remember. And, you know, okay, we'll get that and we'll do your whatever. And I'd say, hey, listen, I got to tell you a funny story. On the way here, my wife tells me this. I tell her the whole story. And she goes, oh my God, that's so funny. And I go, yeah. And, you know, it was just like the whole time she was talking the entire time. And that was just made it like a little bit uncomfortable. Okay. Fast forward to 90 minutes later, the two of us yackles have not shut up the entirety of the 90 minutes. Not one moment of silence in the entire massage. The two of us were just yucking it up the entire time.
I can tell already by the fact that you're like, let me tell you about the story.
Yeah, it's just like, I just demonized this poor girl in my head because she would not shut up. And I would not shut up the entire massage. I talked the entire time. The entire time. I mean, honestly, I left and I was like, oh, that was like, and she gave me a great massage, by the way. And we were laughing and joking and, you know, having fun and talking about wild, weird stuff. She was like, telling me about how she believed that Chris Rock was slapped on stage because the Masons hit a rock and it was like a symbology of some sort. I mean, listen, not my flavor of conspiracy theory, but okay, it's each their own. She told me what shoes I should be wearing when I was running. She explained that there's a pillow that can help me with my She had a large variety of conversation.
It sounds like it.
And it was great. I just chatted it up. I felt like I did an episode of The Commercial Break is really what I felt like.
Nice.
And it was good. I had a great one. And she gave me a great massage in the meantime. And, you know, so I want to say to the masseuse who will never listen to this show and never understood that I didn't care for that massage, that I'm sorry I demonized you for talking so much, because I turned around and did the exact same thing after I told the lady that I was upset for the last massage.
Well, in your defense, so when you're getting a good massage, then it's you're relaxed. It feels good. You're talking.
I'm relaxed.
It's fine.
I'm
when
good.
You're getting a bad massage, that's like all you can focus on.
Yes.
Really is.
It really is. I think I was sharing this with my masseuse, who I won't name. And by the way, now she knows the show. She's probably listening to this, right?
We might need her in a pinch.
Yeah, no pun intended. I might need her in a pinch. I said to her, I think people who do the services for us in general are like little angels. We agreed on one thing and talked about this quite a bit. Everybody should spend some portion of their life, maybe 3 to 5 years at least, of their life working in some service-oriented business.
100%.
Retail, hotel, restaurant.
Be on the other side.
Be on the other side so that you have just a little bit more empathy for the people who are bringing your food, making your coffee, doing your dry cleaning, you know, serving you at the hotels,
I mean,
the restaurants,
think of it,
the resorts.
That's like all I did.
Me too.
Up until, you know, I got the quote-unquote real job.
Oh, the real job. Was that Clear Channel knocking on dry cleaner doors?
It was after college.
Yes.
An advertising agency. So, you know, that was kind of like, the big thing. But yeah, and in a pinch, you know, you can always go back to it.
You can always go back to it. I had considered it a couple times during the run of the commercial break, actually.
In fact, I need to talk to you later.
Okay. Are you going to go back to doing restaurant work? yeah, it's one of those things that you can always rely on. And one of those things that gives you some perspective about what it's like to do service for others, even if that is you're getting paid. Bad tippers have never worked in a restaurant. Never. Guarantee it.
Yep.
Guarantee it.
Yep.
Love some of my family members, but a few of them are terrible tippers. Mm-hmm. And it drives me crazy. And I cringe every time we go out to eat with some these people specifically, because I know I'm going to have to make an excuse, go back. Sometimes I'll even bring, like, if I have it, cash. So that I know I got to go back, run, and give an extra tip, because I know what's about to happen. They're going to give 5 or 10% because they don't believe that all of their children worked in the service business. And these masseuses are a special type of angel because they touch my nasty ass body to make me feel better for 90 minutes with their hands. That takes a lot of energy, effort, and just patience to do that with people. And good training and constant learning and knowing the body. Listen, this girl was lovely, and she gave me a great massage, and I wasted – well, maybe I didn't waste 90 minutes of her life. Maybe I made it go a little bit quicker because I just decided to yak it up.
Sounds pleasant.
I don't know. Like, I was so upset about having to be in a talkative mood for the other girl. I got in a talkative mood and just decided to chat it up with
her. Classic.
So anyway, all right, let's talk about Bill Bellamy's and Belichick's girlfriend on the other side of the break. We'll be back.
You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some really heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock. Hi, cats and kittens. Rachel here.
Do you ever get the urge to speak endlessly into the void, like Brian?
Well, I've got just the place for you to do that. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Feel free to call and yell all you want. Tell Brian I need a raise. Compliment Chrissy's innate ability to put up with all his shenanigans. Or tell us a little story. The juicier, the better, by the way. We'd love to hear your voice, because Lord knows we're done listening to ourselves. Also, give us a follow on your favorite socials, at The Commercial Break on Insta, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And for those of you who like to watch, oh, that came out wrong, we put all the episodes out on video, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, and tcbpodcast.com for all the info on the show, your free sticker, or just to see how pretty we look. Okay, I gotta go now. I've got a date with my dog. No, seriously, Axel needs food. Today is pork chop day.
So, 74-year-old Bill Belichick is dating 24-year-old Jordan Hudson.
Yes, that's been good. We talked about that, I think,
a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
Back in Christmas time, because it was Thanksgiving Day, I think, that he was kind of caught on a ring cam, like leaving some shitty apartment complex yes. in his underwear or something. Yeah, in a bathrobe. He looked like Brian leaving the masseuse. And so, you know, rumors fly as they do. And then fast forward. Now it's well known because they've taken a lot of photographs together. Bill Belichick
and she was in a commercial. Remember?
Was in a commercial. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like a Doritos commercial or something. Yeah, something like that. Cheetos, Doritos, Pizza Hut, Domino's. I don't know. One of those commercials. She was. And in an obvious ploy to either jump on the zeitgeist or get her some money that she needed, Bill kind of wrapped her into his world. And so, you know, since then, there's been some, I'd say, probably strange things that have happened regarding Bill Belichick, a notoriously private person, a notoriously quiet person, who led the Patriots with the help of Tom Brady to 7 Super Bowls, I think, something like that. I'm not a Patriots fan, so I don't really know all the numbers, but nor am I really good at sports, so don't. Hold on 1 second. Brian got it wrong, yeah. So Bill Belichick, this kind of notoriously like hermit crab of a human being, starts popping out of the woodwork, including jumping on social media, TikTok and Instagram, to start accounts at the behest of Jordan and starts posting pictures of them going to now these like kind of Hollywoodish events.
And doing yoga. Like there was something where he was like holding her up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She was doing some kind of yoga pose stuff.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the beach, holding her up by his feet. You know, she was flying in the air. You know, as Instagram influencers are prone to do. 74-year-old former Patriot head coaches influencers are prone to do. It's all very odd. I am not here to cast dispersions on the age of a relationship as long as it's legal. As long as it's legal. Legal and appropriate are two totally different things in my mind. Is it appropriate? I don't know. I guess that's up to them. You can't really help who you fall in love with, I guess, at the end of the day. I'm not saying a 75-year-old should be with a 25-year-old, but I'm not saying it shouldn't happen either. I just don't know. It's not the first time. It won't be the last time. And obviously the angle here that a lot of people think is that she's after his fame and riches, because she's a relatively unknown human being who jumps into the Bill Belichick spotlight. Actually, jumps into the Bill Belichick void, really. He's nowhere to be found. He's not out at, like, you know, Spago or Lago. He's not at Lago having yuckles with fucking Conan O'Brien. That's not what Bill Belichick does. But all of a sudden, he writes a book. He's on CBS News this morning. He's doing interviews. He's showing up at nightlife places. He's out and about on town. He's going to Hollywood red carpets. And all with Jordan right in tow. He's acting as his publicist, his PR person. This is all.
Oh, she's acting as a PR person. I didn't
that's
that
what
part.
She said she was doing, was acting as his. She's now part of his team, quote unquote.
Okay.
She's managing the situation. It's not hard to get Bill Belichick an interview since he notoriously doesn't do them. All you have to do is pick up the phone and ask anybody if they'd like to have Bill Belichick on, and they're going to say yes. He's a 7-time Super Bowl winner. He's a 7-time Super Bowl champ. But some people might argue one of the better coaches that's ever existed. But he, again, is totally oblivious to any of this starlit, yeah, star power type of bullshit. Oblivious, or maybe willingly doesn't do it until Jordan shows up. And now he's out there on the scene. So what do we make of this? I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess the thing that I wanted to bring up was that CBS Morning thing.
Yes.
Where, you know, they're doing the interview. And then the interviewer asks Bill, so, you know, hey, tell me how you guys met again. And I guess she really jumped in and said,
we don't talk about that. We're not answering about that.
Yeah. And I guess people were kind of like, why? I mean, I wonder why. Why not? Why not say we met here, we met there? Who knows? I mean, a lot of people meet on apps now, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with where you met.
Yeah.
It seemed more suspicious to jump in and say, we want to talk about it.
That's right. I agree with you on this. I agree with you that it leads to suspicion. You know, the mind abhors a vacuum, and that's how all of this all these crazy conspiracy theories get started, is when the answers are not 100% clear. Why would she not want to answer that? I can think of a few things. Maybe they did meet on an app. Maybe they met on an app that they don't want people to know about, like, you know, sugardaddy.com or something.
Or
like
OnlyFans
or something. Or OnlyFans, yeah. Or, you know, maybe Bill was trolling Facebook for young women. I don't know. It's hard to know because they don't say. Or maybe there is a friend or a family member that was involved in the meeting of these two that wants to remain nameless. And, you know, the heat's going to be on them if they say, well, we met through X and Y. And then that person, of course, is going to be hounded by the tabloids and the paparazzi trying to figure out what the real story is. So maybe they're just trying to protect the innocent. Listen,
I mean, I don't really care, but it was in my news feed.
That is like my bottom line about this. Yeah. There is a story here. 75-year-old, you know, former Super Bowl champ, head coach, meets 25-year-old nobody, you know, kind of rags to riches story, so to speak. That kind of meeting a prince, an old prince, a king, if you will. Yeah. Yes, like King Charles, like on his way out the door. That kind of story. But at the end of the day, who cares?
Mm-mm.
I mean, is Bill Belichick really the guy that we're interested in knowing all about his love life?
No.
There are so many other. Bill Bellamy, actually.
I know. That's what I was just looking
at. Is more interesting.
Yeah. Where is Bill Bellamy now?
I don't know where Bill Bellamy is.
Well, it made me think, and I looked it up.
He's been in some movies and stuff, I think.
Has he?
Bill Bellamy's a former MTV VJ from the 90s, I believe.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, he was part of the Woodstock 99. He went to Woodstock 99. I think he was part of that coverage when they all had to, like, run out of the place because people were literally losing their shit and turning it into a riot.
Oh, my God. Well, this is really funny. I mean, it's so funny how stuff comes together. So here in my news, when I did a look up, it says Bill Bellamy talks comedy, MTV days, and his top billing comedy stuff for the first time in almost 20 years.
Oh,
Bill
he's
Bellamy
back on
returns.
The scene. Okay, yeah.
Okay.
This Bill is from Bellamy making a comeback.
Yeah, he was part of that Def Comedy Jam.
He's part of the Def Comedy Jam.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly, Bill Bellamy hasn't been heard from in 20 years.
He created or coined the phrase booty call.
Oh, he did. Okay. Well, there you go. Bill Bellamy. More interesting than Bill Belichick. Yes. On any day of the week.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about it because everybody else is talking about it. But I really don't care how Jordan and Bill met. It's not of interest to me. Like, even if they say they met on a sugar daddy website, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Whatever.
Listen, Bill, it seems to me like a guy who's just all consumed with his job 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Always recruiting, always thinking up the next play, always, you know, riding Tom Brady's patootie, like those two just, you know, hand in hand having conversations.
Figuring out ways to read lips.
Yeah, yes, that's right. Figuring out ways to plant people, figuring out ways to deflate footballs. Like, there's a lot of different things that I imagine go into being a head coach of a football team. And so it's probably all consuming. And I would bet that if you would ask 90% of the wives of head coaches of professional football teams or even college football teams don't see a lot of their husbands for about 9 months a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a hard thing to start a relationship when you're a head coach of a professional football team. Well, he's done. And now he's trying to recapture some of that youth that he had
he missed
50 years ago. But that's okay. Whatever. I mean, cool, dude. All right.
Yeah, as long as everybody's cool and the kids are cool.
I'm cool with it.
Because I think I would have a – me personally, this is just me personally. I think I would have a problem with my dad dating someone much younger than me.
Well, that really is, I think, the challenge.
But
when
each
you're
to their own.
Yeah, but does Bill Belichick have children is the question. He does?
I think he does, yeah.
Speaking of like head coaches, did you hear about the guy who was supposed to go like in the first round of the draft, DeAndre Sanders?
Yes, of course. That was all over the place. And then our Falcons guy, they made a stupid call, prank call.
Shedeur Sanders was supposed to go this, and I know this is going to bore people who don't want to pay attention to football, but I think this kind of breaks outside of just the football world. This story, by the way, is a couple weeks old. You heard it here first on the commercial break.
Best to you, best to you, best to you, best to you.
You got all kinds of surprises.
Oh, wait, there's one big surprise I'm keeping for you. I'm sorry, I just played with it all morning long and I was having fun. I was having fun. And I thought that was good.
That's a good one.
Best to you.
That's a good one.
Best to you. Best to you. Best to you.
Okay.
Electronic keyboard in there.
I said, make it Cynthia and Poppy. Shedeur Sanders, who is Deion Sanders' son,
obviously
is a quarterback.
Famous.
Talented quarterback who, by some accounts, had a really good season of college football.
And he was a Boulder.
Yeah. And
Colorado.
Yes, that's right. He played for his dad.
He was the head coach, yeah.
So a lot of people, including the prognosticators who do this kind of thing, decided that he was going to go in the first round. He decided to predict that he was going to go in the first round of the draft. And just so you know, the NFL draft is now 24 hours a fucking day yes. on ESPN for like 3 days in a row.
I know.
I had no idea until about a decade ago, and it's just gotten crazier. How interesting people find the NFL draft. Now, I understand if you're getting a good guy on your team, that makes you really excited. But who are these people who are showing up to these huge stadiums?
Oh, my God. My brother-in-law and I were talking about this. We were like, what are these people doing?
What are these people doing? What are you guys doing?
They're fully dressed up. They have gone
makeup.
Ultimate
yes.
fan.
And there's like people from every team.
Yeah.
They show up. And so much so that, like, this year it was in, like, an outdoor stadium. Yeah. And people, I was watching the fourth round of the draft. And they were like, choosing.
Yeah.
I know, they were going crazy. Let me give a little example here. Choosing now the 375,000th pick in the 2025-26 draft. Clowny from DeVry. And people go, Clowny, we got Clowny.
And the camera cuts to them, and they are just freaking out.
I know. They're freaking out. While everybody else around them is like snoring because they're just they have to wait 3 hours for the next time their team gets picked.
My favorite part is watching the families, watching, you know,
okay,
when
I
they
get
that.
Selected. Yeah, they are insta-millionaire, right?
Yeah.
But now when you're in college, you're an insta-millionaire if you
That's
do
true.
Well. Anyway, Shedeur Sanders is supposed to go. Shedeur Sanders was supposed to go in the first round of the draft, and a lot of people thought that was like a lock. First round, second round, third round, he's not picked.
Yeah, it was all the talk.
It was all the talk. Why was he going so low in the draft? Well, from the 15 minutes of coverage that I watched, the ESPN commentators who had to refer to it every 30 seconds or they were going to lose ratings. I mean, it became kind of like a ratings getter. I think now everybody, and including myself, was tuned in to see when and if he was going to get picked. They were all saying that, listen, could be a combination of a couple things. He comes from a family of kind of like loud, maybe some people consider obnoxious football players. He might be more trouble than it's worth. Some people thought that he played for a team that played other teams that weren't that great and his stats were whatever and he doesn't have the arm to throw. Whatever the deal is, I don't know. But when you're supposed to go first, and you don't go till like, I don't know, 236th or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, what was that? Was like the fourth round? Fifth round?
Yeah, fourth or fifth round, I think. But I don't know. I don't know. Brian got it wrong. Okay, I don't know. But that's not the point of the story. Okay, so he's waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. Cameras all over him. And the entire world is waiting for this Sanders guy to get picked. And he's not getting picked. Call after call, you know, hour after hour, day after day. He's just not getting called. Except he is getting called. He's getting a phone call on a phone, a burner phone, that he got specifically for a team to give him a call. So his personal cell phone, he knew it was had a lot of people were going to be calling his personal cell phone. So they got him a phone with one phone number, and they gave it to each team coordinator so that if he got picked, that team coordinator could call that phone and let him know he was picked. That phone was not supposed to ring until and if he got picked. And because of all the drama and attention surrounding this, you know, that phone number was valuable. And everyone, I'm sure, every news media outlet in the world wanted that phone number. Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff Ulbrich, who is a guy who is coaching for the Falcons.
Yes, our team here.
Yeah, Jeff Ulbrich, a defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, had the phone number because, of course, he did. The team had the phone number. So he had the phone number. His snotty little kid, who's like a teenager, found the phone number and decided that on this day, the best prank in the world that he could play was to call Shador and pretend that he was a team calling to pick him in the draft. You get the prank phone call is that he calls the phone number that's only going to be called when he's picked, and he picks it up and pretends that he has gotten picked in the draft. Well, quickly, everybody realizes that that's not true. I mean, of course, there's a million people coordinating all these things, and you're going to be found out pretty quickly. Yeah. But Jeff Ulbrich's son decides to videotape this and then put it on social media.
Oh, my God.
He decides to videotape himself, prank phone calling Mr. Sanders to tell him he was drafted when, in fact, he was not drafted, raising the hopes of everybody in the Sanders family, including, you know, all the agents and the press and the paparazzi. That phone rings, and he answers it. And his dad, namely his dad.
Yeah, Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders, who's probably freaking out with every additional pick that his son is the best and he's going to get hundreds of millions of dollars and all this other stuff and he's not going in the draft. And that phone rings and everybody fucking freaks. Only within a few seconds, they realize that that's not it. Well, Jeff Ulbrich's son videotapes himself doing this and puts it on the fucking internet. Down. My uncle used to say something, kids, and now I want you to listen to me.
Well, this took your glasses off for that.
I wanted this to be serious. I want these kids to understand something. And I'm going to tell my kids this. Do not fuck up while you're fucking up. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anybody who has a brain in their head will understand what I'm saying. And this is wise advice. And by the way, I keep saying my uncle said this to me. I don't know who said this to me, actually. I just have said it forever, and I remember it this way. Don't fuck up while you're fucking up. If you great advice to live by. If you get the guy's phone number and you decide to make that prank phone call, do not videotape it and put it on the internet for everyone and their mother to recognize what a dumb shit you are. This has got to be one of the dumbest things you could have ever done, because now your dad was fined. Mm-hmm. The FCC is looking into it.
$300,000 or something.
It was no joke. $225,000.
Yeah, I remember reading it, and I was like, "Oh man!" His dad is pissed.
They fined the Falcons $250,000. Ulbrich $100,000 in response to the situation. The kid was 21 years old. Jax Ulbrich wrote down the number from his father's open iPad while visiting his parents' house to conduct a prank phone call. And I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this. Of course, this is all PR speak.
Of course.
They probably got like one of those PR firms that I'm sure we're going to have to call at some
emergency.
Point.
Emergency.
Yeah. We better have one of those. Yeah.
Do we have one of management.
Those? Do we have one of those? We need to have one of those. Because, you know, I get it.
Jeff's got one, so we'll tap into his.
He has one?
Well, I mean, they're a company. I mean, they work with a PR company.
Is that PR but there's specialized companies that come in during times of shit and they just
can do it. This woman can do it.
Yeah, they write really fancy press releases that make it sound like you're really sorry when you're not. Sorry, I'm going to rehab. Sorry, I'm going to take some time to myself. Sorry, I'm going to go away and reflect on my actions. You know, there's like step by step, you know, A's and B's.
I'm going to be best.
Yeah, I'm going to be best. Be best. That's the stupidest phrase. That's best to you. Yes. Honestly, it is. So this kid does this, and now his dad's $350,000 in the hole. I mean, I don't know what you get paid as a defensive coordinator. Probably $1 million, $1.5 million.
Well,
a year,
I mean, the fact
like
that the team got fined and him personally. Yeah. I mean, not only did the kid fuck up with the dad. He fucked up with the team. And his dad's work.
Yes.
He fucked up with his dad's work.
If this guy doesn't have one of the best defensive years in the NFC, whatever the fuck we're in, then I promise you Jeff Ulbrich is not returning to the Falcons. Arthur Blank, do not play, kid.
No,
he's not a jokester. Uh-uh. He has desperately wanted a winning team forever and never had one. I mean, 1 year we went to the Super Bowl, 1 year, and got stomped. By who? The Patriots. That's right.
Bringing it all back to Bill Belichick
and Bill Bellamy. All right. And by the way, the last time the Falcons were in the Super Bowl was when Bill Bellamy was on MTV. That's how it worked. All right, let's talk about VR raves when we get back.
Yes.
We'll take a break. And
best to you. Best to you. Best to you. Best to you.
Why don't you text us? And we can text back. And then you can text us in reply. Then so on. It's a fun little game I've been playing. And I think you'll be great at it. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You could leave a message, too. If you do, maybe you'll end up being the voice of the show. But be warned, the pay is not great. You could go to the website and drop us an email also, tcbpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can get a free sticker. Who doesn't want a free sticker? Just go to the Contact Us button and ask for one. Follow us on Insta at The Commercial Break and watch the episodes at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Now I'm going to go back to that texting game. You want to play? Come on. Bye.
In the Brian got it wrong department, they have picked a new pope. As we're sitting here recording right now, I'm just seeing that the new pope is going to greet the throngs, the masses in just a few minutes. So I guess we'll follow up on that next week. But very interesting. I assumed it would take a very long time for that to happen. So there you go.
Brian got it wrong. Yeah, Brian got it.
Yeah, you called a month.
I called a month. And it took less than 24
days.
Hours.
Yeah.
Less than 24 hours. They just got in there yesterday. I think we were talking about this yesterday at this time, and they were just entering the conclave, and they puffed that black smoke yesterday. And so, well, okay, there you go. Hey, why not? Not that I really care. I was just hoping for some like long, drawn-out process so it could make
some drama.
You wanted
the drama.
I did. I wanted the Italian media to go crazy, but they didn't. Now they're just, well, I hope it's a good pope. For all those who care. Okay. One of the things that is interesting, did you send that to me?
I did.
Chrissy found an article, and I've heard about this before, about the raves, the VR raves. Raving is back. For those of you that don't know, raving was a thing that started back in the 70s and 80s, I think, in the underground club scene, when electronic dance music or disco and electronic dance music really started to hit the scene. People would put on these kind of underground parties. I mean, you can think about this like Club 54, Studio 54, really probably would be one of the first. I don't know because I'm not a historian on this, but I would imagine that's one of the places that really bred this kind of party culture. Go, do drugs, dance all night long, or don't do drugs, but you know, party all night long, get out in the sun. This has been going on in Europe for a long time. The Germans are known for this. The Swiss are known. There's a lot of different cultures that have this kind of party all night long and listen to a certain type of music, more specifically electronic dance music, EDM. So this culture was really hot in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
I went to a number of them myself.
I did too.
When you would get the chocolate chip ecstasy, like the really early ecstasy pills that some people claimed were like, you know, meth and heroin mixed together. Who knows what I was taking? It made you feel good. That's all I know. Yeah. Made you feel good. And then you would just dance. You'd have that, you know, lovely I love you energy, and you just dance the night away. And a lot of times these were in warehouses and fields.
Yeah, the ones that I started going to were in warehouses.
People's houses sometimes, you know, these really small events like the Acid Fest, you know, Trip Fest that we did. Only that wasn't electronic dance music. That was Pink Floyd, The Wall. Not exactly the same vibe, no, but, you know, you can get it. So these parties were in England. Sometimes they'd be thousands of people would show up en masse to one location based on flyers that were passed out. There was no email largely available back then. So, you know, I don't need to tell you. You, if you've been alive on this earth for more than 21 years, then you know what a rave is. At least you've heard about them. This culture is back.
Uh-huh.
It went away for a little while, largely. And there's been a lot of articles about how raving as a culture just kind of died down once ecstasy went away and harder drugs hit the scene, like meth and not heroin, but
fentanyl.
You know, once these kind of drugs, like these synthetic drugs hit the scene, the culture kind of died a little bit because that lovey-dovey dance all night energy turned into something else. I read this really well-written article, and I forget which – I wish I could cite the author or the or the magazine, but of course. Ryan got it wrong,
yeah. Ryan got it wrong, I read this article.
But he wrote this like 5-page essay on the rave culture and how it was officially dead. Well, it's back, and I've heard about this, and it's back online, virtual reality,
the VR rave.
You don't need to be in the same room. You don't need to leave the comfort of your home. There's no getting taxis here or there. No chance you're going to get caught by security, you know, tooting in the bathroom or whatever. None of that shit. You are officially in your bedroom, raving with others in a VR world.
You and your avatar are getting down.
Yeah, so Christy
drugs, said, sex,
all simulated
kinds,
sex.
All kinds of things are happening for our days.
Listen, I really thought this metaverse was good for nothing. I'm sure it still is. But there are people out there who are going to these raves. And like Christy said, 60-hour drug fests, simulated sex fests. This virtual reality world, like everything else technology-wise, is being driven by sex and drugs. Sex and drugs. It all because these are the things that humans need to do. We're hardwired for that. We're hardwired to follow the dopamine. We're hardwired to procreate. Those two things. So when it seems base, like it seems crass that I say that sex really drove the evolution of the internet, porn, sex, it's really not. It's like one of the human, it's the basic ingredient to life. We need to recreate. We need to procreate. And so that instinct, that base instinct drives us to think of new ways and new things. And that dopamine that we get from it makes that base feeling to chase that dopamine is why we do drugs. It's escapism and sex and all that other stuff. Well, now you put on that fucking Mark goddamn Zuckerberg helmet. And you go for 60 hours and you rave?
Yeah, these people have like the body tracker things you put on too, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they have like things, yeah. Like body trackers, and then they have these sensation suits that can, they have pressure sensors and wow.
And then, and this one guy they profiled in the article was, he was doing drugs as well.
Well, good for him.
And, yeah.
At least he's doing it from the safety of his own home. I will say that.
I hope he had a fentanyl test.
Listen, if you're doing drugs in 2025, hard drugs, and you're not getting a fentanyl test, you are you're as good as dead. It's Russian roulette every time. Now, I also realize that hype outside the streets doesn't always mean truth on the streets. But I think we've seen enough cases of people who've wrongly, mistakenly taken something and died to know that even if it happened just a couple of times where someone mistakenly took the wrong drug or thought they were taking blow and were taking fentanyl, I would be testing my drugs for sure. When I get back into drugs, when I retire, I'm going to be testing my drugs. That's all I got to say. All right. So I went out there and quickly found a video about someone who went to one of these dance parties. And so let's watch this.
Oh,
I'm going to give
found that. Okay.
Just for a few seconds before we head out of here and find out who the Pope is. Okay. This is someone, Otterly World. Oh,
Otterworldly.
Otterworldly, excuse me.
Hold on one second.
Okay, you talk, Chrissy.
Yes, well, we're looking at possibly a Fatboy Slim concert coming up here.
I love it.
Eat, sleep, VR, repeat.
Okay, all right, let me see if I can make it work. Now, go.
Today, we are going to a Fatboy Slim concert in VR. They're doing a special event today, so I'm going to be at this virtual concert with hundreds of other users. Let's do it.
But why are there aliens over there and a naked person? That's kind of weird.
Wow.
Whoa. That's so cool.
It's showing this girl with the headset on.
Yeah.
And she's at the VR concert.
She's at the VR concert and they're showing some weird, like strange, you know, graphics. And every time she looks down around her, there's other feetless, legless avatars walking. This reminds me of my time in the metaverse when they told me to leave.
That's insane.
Yeah, but these graphics seem like they're Atari. You know what I'm saying? Like, these graphics don't seem impressive to me.
But I think maybe when you have the headset on, it feels like you're there.
You're in it.
Yeah, you're
there.
It.
Okay.
You're part of it.
Maybe it looks a little bit more 3D.
When we're just watching it on the flat screen.
Yeah. And Fatboy Slim had one hit, and he's breaking it out right at the beginning. If you're going to go for a, you know, 60-hour rave, I think you save that for some time toward the end, don't you?
True,
okay. I wonder if Fatboy uses ChatGPT.
I bet they do. They're in the. They're having
Hello,
a show.
Hello, my friends.
Hi.
Welcome home.
This is so cool.
I don't know if this is one of the coolest things I've seen or one of the things that makes me feel like humanity probably doesn't have a stand a chance of making it past the AI revolution. This looks, to me, this is bad graphics. Maybe not my Fatboy Slim isn't my favorite artist ever. And it looks like I'm a little lonely because even the crowd seems sparse and weird. It looks like I showed up to a party that I would show up to, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm going to show up to a party, I want it to be a party like I think somebody else would go to. Do you know? Do you understand, like, what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, at least there's other people there, I guess.
Yeah.
There are literally, like, 7 people at this rave. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, I guess it's showing your name above it. Like,
yeah, that's how it works in the metaverse. Luke. Yeah, well, your username anyway. Mm-hmm. Oh, someone is screaming to me, eat, sleep, rave, repeat. I would just be going absolutely bananas.
It's Fatboy Slim.
It's Fatboy Slim. That's what you got to do. All right. So
I think we need to investigate this some more.
Okay. We'll investigate it some more another time. All right, kids. That's all I got for you today. But I love you. And just know that. And everything will be okay. Everyone will be all right. Even with the meta raving, we're going to be just fine.
Hey, yeah, again, each to their own.
Yeah.
If that's your thing, do it.
To each their own. Yeah, but Fatboy Slim.
I don't know if that's the same concert. This guy.
No, it's definitely not the same concert. I don't think the hardcore ravers are showing up to the Fatboy Slim concert and vice versa.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Exactly. I don't think Fatboy Slim is showing up to the hardcore ravers. It's Fatboy Slim.
I wonder if there's like a drive-in too. So. Huh. Interesting.
It says Norm's Drive-In. Why am I going to Norm's for the party? I don't know. Anyway, the 12 Hours of TCB is coming at you May 31st. Be here with us. starting at 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. Pay attention. Just hang tight. We're going to be there. Don't worry. For 12 episodes, 13 episodes, 14 episodes of the commercial break, we'll figure it out on the day of. Just show up. May 31st, celebrating mental health. Celebrating 5 years, not celebrating.
Celebrating our mental
health. Celebrating our mental health. The 5 years of the commercial break, 6 seasons of TCB, and shedding a little light on mental health and your need to be aware about your own mental health, I guess is the best way to say that. Oh, Lord. Okay. I'm going to try and end this episode.
Yeah. You can land the plane.
I can't.
It's shaky, but you got it.
All right. Brought to you by Covert Creative, Odyssey Podcasts and Original Podcasts, and CTB. And, of course, us, the commercial break. Okay, 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, we take them all right there. Or you can leave us a message, and you, too, can be on the next episode of The Commercial Break. Add The Commercial Break on Instagram, TCB Podcast on TikTok, and YouTube.com/ The Commercial Break. Rate us on Apple and Spotify. TCBpodcast.com for your free swag. Okay. I think I did okay.
I think you did great.
All right. That's all I can do for now.
Yeah, I know.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Habeas pom pom. Until next time. Goodbye.
Bye.